Remnant, good evening and welcome to 7x70. Coming to you on this, well, it's a beautiful day here on Thursday, April 11th, 2024, from the Radio Ranch. It was a beautiful day here. Got to be here at the ranch today working on mail. Got a good bit of mail out. We appreciate those orders. That keeps us going here. And we're thankful that we are able to continue to provide the information, the CDs and the DVDs and the pamphlets and the books and the Bibles and the Bible law courses and the supplements that, quite frankly, are just hard to get anywhere else. And sent quite a bit of that out today. Ooh, you should have seen the postage bill. And but anyway, beautiful day here at the ranch, and we are walking in God's blessings. Wanted to got a couple things to talk with you tonight about. It's exciting times, it is. But we're going to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer first. Well, Heavenly Father, we do. We come to you in the blessed holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for this day of life that you've given us. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. As the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Lord, let us be the people that obey that commandment, that obey that is truly a blessing to us when we do it, and that it blesses you as well, Lord. And so help us to do that. Strengthen us this day. And I pray your blessings on the remnant, Lord, on those that, Lord, that have eyes to see, those wise virgins out there, Lord, that have the oil of understanding, that have their lamps in order and have the oil for them and anxiously await the bridegroom. Guide and direct me tonight, Lord, and give me the words to say to glorify you and encourage your remnant. I pray all this, Lord, in thankfulness and humility, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Exciting times. Things are just a little different. We, had some weather this past weekend, and were unable to had the power out at the church on Sunday, and that's not out of the ordinary, but the way that it came about was they were expecting 100 mile an hour winds and they got them. That's kind of out of the ordinary for the Front Range, where LaPorte is, Fort Collins, north of the Denver area. And the power companies on Saturday, they put out that they said, hey, we're expecting winds. We're going to cut the power to the power lines to hopefully prevent some fires. And I think they did. There were some that they didn't cut, and it started a few fires. And they've seen that happen, of course, down in Texas this year. They've seen it happen in California in years in the past. And so It was a new thing for that part of Colorado, for the power company to do that. And so we had no power at the church. We did a service here from the radio ranch. Of course, it was just audio, just broadcast out here. We don't have enough bandwidth here to get video out of the radio ranch. But Brother Zach had a great message, and I hope you heard it. I've enjoyed his messages. I think they're foundational. They're good to good reminders for us. And I'm reminded as well that all scripture, the Bible says, is given for our learning. Whether it's given to remind us of what we should do, to direct us in what we shouldn't do, whatever it may be, for us to learn from past successes as well as failures that we read about and learn and apply from them. So anyway, I've been enjoying and learning from Brother Zach's messages. I hope you have too. Appreciate your prayers. Sorry if we haven't been able to talk with you on the phone lately. I've been out of the office. We've been down at the print shop printing the newsletter. And it went in the mail yesterday. So Volume 4, 2024, Part 1 of Knowing Who We Are. And I think it's a pretty good newsletter. I do. Jason's got a great little article in here from the editor talking about Moses and Joseph and that time and what happened during that time. And I think it's pertinent because when we look at the current events that we're in, we can certainly see similarities today that match up with things that happened then. And so I think you'll enjoy it. And, you know, let us know, folks, when you get it. And then, hopefully a day or two later when you get to read it and look through it, let us know what you think. You know, Pastor Peters was always encouraged by hearing what people thought of the newsletter. And if it encouraged them or if they thought it might have been a little, should have been a little different, just however. So, again, feel free to let us know what you think when you get that newsletter. And so I think you will enjoy it. Got some new stuff, couple reviews. And so, again, you know, we sure try here at Scriptures to help the remnant, to feed the sheep, to tend the sheep that are in God's pastures, God's meadows, and we just try to do that. Last week had a good Passover service, Passover again, and we try to, you know, it's new terminology for so many people. They hear Passover and they think, oh, are you Jewish? But it's because they haven't read their Bible and seen. And anyway, so Passover, the Bible describes it as the 14th day of Abib. Abib being the beginning of the new solar year. And the first day of that was March 20th. Spring equinox was late in the evening on March 19th. So the 20th being the first day to count. And the 14th took us to April 2nd. And we had a Passover service. And you can read about the first Passover back in Exodus 12. The few chapters leading up to that talk about the plagues that God brought upon Egypt and how that they just bared through them. It didn't have the effect on Pharaoh to agree with God and to let God's people go. And to stop the slavery that was upon them until God sent the death angel, and the people, the Israelites, the Hebrews that were obedient to God's instructions and slaughtered the lamb and applied the blood to the door and the lintel, they survived. And they got out of Egypt. And so it really is a similarity to what we see today. You know, today it's gather your own straw, make more bricks, more taxes, more illegal aliens, more inflation, higher interest rates, and on and on it goes. And so we see many similarities. So we observe the Passover. You can read about it in Exodus 12. It is so important. There is a makeup day on 30 days later. And so until that time, when we get the opportunity, we're going to try to remind you. So hopefully it finds some fertile ground. You can read about it in the Bible. You can read Numbers 9, and that is when they were out in the wilderness, and there were some that were unclean, were not prepared to observe the Passover, but they desired to. There was a desire to do God's will, And I think that goes a long way with God and His heart toward us as individuals. And so God made a way that, hey, you can't today, but or you can't on this day, but you can't. He didn't just shrug it off and say, don't worry about it. I know your heart, and so it'll be okay. That's not what we read about in the Scriptures. Now, that's many times what we hear from the Judeo-Christian pulpit and so-called Judeo-Christian leaders. Well, it's okay. God knows your heart. And it's like, yeah, He does, and He knows it. That doesn't the Bible say the heart is wicked above all else? Anyway, a couple more things. I'll get off Passover makeup day. Numbers 9, you can read it again in you can read about it again in 2 Chronicles 30. And it's Hezekiah writing letters and encouraging the people to come back and celebrate Passover. And they celebrated it in the second 30 days later on the makeup day because they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. So you've got a double witness right there. And so we do our best to make it known. May 2nd, Passover makeup day. You've got time if you have questions about Passover, what to do, that type of thing. It's not a Sabbath day. It's a remembrance day. It is. And we're to celebrate it, to remember it. And so you can contact us at Scriptures for America. We'd be glad to send you Pastor Peter's book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy in Calculating the Passover. And as well as his little book on communion that goes a long way to scripturally let you know about Passover. It's not rocket science. It's all in the Scripture. It's all in the Bible. But, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:18, I think it applies. I think it does apply. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross, and of course the cross is part of the gospel message and is part of the word of God, but 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us, for the message of the cross is foolishness to some, to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so that is part of that gospel message. And it is foolish to so many, but you know what? It just marks and highlights and proves, according to the Word of God, that they are perishing. They are fading away like the grass withers, and not to an eternal life. Those that consider the cross, the gospel, the Word of God, foolishness. And that's rampant out there, folks. You know it. I know it. But to those of us that are being saved, right? We read that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That kind of, to me, that in itself, along with other scriptures, but especially that, leads the way to debunk the once saved, always saved mantra that you hear out there. Anyway, that was in my notes. I just wanted to share it, and because it, you know, we are not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And in the time that we're in, I think more so than ever, and I think we have more opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ and His word and His will and His law. It seems like we have more, you know, more opportunity to do that. I'm looking at the little booklet here, Revealing the Man of Sin. And we have sent, at the ministry, Jason and I, we have sent more of these books out and the CDs that go along with them. We played that series for DVD Church here over the last month or two, couple months, as the Timeless Pulpit Truth. the original messages that Pastor preached. I think the first one was in Branson, and then the rest were at the church pulpit. And we've sent more copies of those CDs and DVDs and the booklets out. I think I sent two today. People had ordered 10 each. Had one person order 20, and they're passing them out. And that is encouraging. It's encouraging to me that we've got people in the remnant that are moved to do that, but that they feel that there's people that are receptive to that more so than maybe last year, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or more receptive than last month. And so, you know, that's a bit of a praise report here that is happening, because it's a good thing. And that's what we're trying to do, is just to get the truth out, right? Have the people read the Bible. The answers to our problems are there, if you care to look. If you care to look, to take the time. So many don't, and so many won't. But that's just how it is. It's their loss when they do that. The times that we are in, okay, are the times of good called evil and evil called good. You know, the Bible tells us not to lie, right? That we are to be truthful with one another. We're to have just weights and measures and scales, and not to... not to lie. The Bible says liars do not inherit the kingdom. Headline today, President Biden's bogus college claim is just the latest in a decades-long pattern of lies? No, of embellishment. See, that's a nice big... Doesn't that word sound educated? Sound like something a college professor would use, or a CNN or MSNBC commentator. Oh, it's an embellishment that is applied here. It's just a lie. He's just a lying bastard, has been all his life. And the media just play into it. Because that's what they do. And so, anyway, I saw that headline today and I thought, wow. But he is just a liar. He can't help it. It's that way. Anyway, kind of off subject, but I think it does apply, because it highlights the times that we're in. That this is this embellishment, okay? That kind of goes along with the newcomers, right? The illegal aliens that are coming into our nation illegally, breaking the law, coming in and causing crime, committing crimes, killing, raping, looting, plundering, stealing. It's just, they're newcomers. See, we were all immigrants once. Is what we hear from the insanity of the times that we live in. Our pastor's teaching when he taught on that, hey, if everyone else is crazy and you're the only sane one in the insane asylum, they think you're crazy. And that's really how we are today, right? Those that are perishing, they look at the cross, they look at the gospel as foolishness. And how many generations are we into that? I think it's been over 100 years that has grown and grown and grown in this country. And look how this country has just gotten worse and worse and worse. Talked with a few Judeo-Christians, I guess, this week. And I think mentioned it last night with Brother Paul at the end of the prayer meeting that got to use the little line that, you know, we just had an eclipse. It wasn't an apocalypse. It was just an eclipse. Had a couple of them saying, well, I guess everybody was wrong. Nothing happened. And, you know, we've been, we picked up that NASA called this the Nineveh event because it passed through seven towns, partial or full eclipse, in the United States named Nineveh, and one up in Canada. I'm not sure the province. And so when you have an event that's called the Nineveh event, you kind of take a look at it. And then being that this shadow of this second solar eclipse in less than 7 years, 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days apart, most just think it's nothing. And they've already forgotten about it and just moved on to whatever's next, right? Eating and drinking, giving and taking in marriage, and just going about their merry way. Well, we read about those times in the Bible as well. And we're back as God's people in those times. It's exciting times. It's the beginning of the year. You know, these, anyway, I really feel that this eclipse is just the beginning. There's researchers that say, we've looked them up, that say that there was a full solar eclipse over Nineveh at the time of Jonah. And that was one of the reasons. When you look at it, and if you start to think about these Assyrians and these people that God sent Jonah to tell them to, you know, to repent, right? To turn away. He said 40 days or it's all over. And you think just some guy walking around yelling that anybody's going to listen to him? But you got to remember, the Assyrians, see, they worshipped the female deity Ashtoreth, but also Dagon, who was a merman, right? Like the Aquaman movies that are the big hit today that have been remade by the Pacific Islander, whatever, Baboa or whatever his name is. I don't know. And that's all the craze. And the land that we live in today worships Starbucks. Oh, the people go there and pour their money out daily, sometimes twice a day. And their symbol is that mermaid with the split tail spreading her legs to anything and everything. And our people love to have it so. And so the similarities, folks, are piling up. I can't, you know, maybe I'm wrong. You tell me if I'm wrong. You point me out and say, oh, no, Richard, it's not that. It's this. When I read through the Bible, I just see it more and more and more. And so I see this eclipse as the beginning of a 40 days. Now, I'm not saying in 40 days God's going to destroy America. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not a prophet. I hear some of these, oh, God spoke to me in a dream. And nope, you're not going to get that from me. Maybe if that happens, but that hasn't happened. But I can read the word and see it and see the times that we're in. And talking to true Christians, it's almost like people feel it. You can feel it. Paul and I talked about that last night a little bit, that there's just there's something in the air. There's something that things are different. And I don't know what it is. But with everything that I'm reading, I'm sure trying to do my best to be obedient to the word. I've already been obedient as far as salvation. And I continue, as I said earlier, when I read that scripture, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's not written to evildoers. That's written to all of us. And so we continue to do that to the best of our ability. But I do believe that it ties in, it links with this biblical story of Nineveh and Jonah. And so, a few people might have heard Jonah speaking and then told their friends, hey, this guy's saying we got to change. We got 40 days and God's going to wipe us out. And they say, well, who is that? Well, this Jonah, he came out of a fish. This big whale or shark or great fish, whatever it was, burped him up, and that's where he came from. That might get some attention, but then when you couple it with a full solar eclipse as well, especially the several hundred years BC that it occurred in, well, that, you know, those items kind of got their attention to where they heard. And see, that's lacking here in this nation. God hasn't got the attention of his people yet. Oh, interest rates are still way up. Inflation is still as high as it's ever been. Suicide, never been higher. Heart disease kills more than it ever has. Cancer, oh, takes them out. Children, babies, young ones, old ones. And if cancer doesn't get the old people, Alzheimer's does. The curses from Deuteronomy 28 have come true. It's not that they're coming true. They have come true. We are living them. But I do think that something else is coming. I don't know what it is, but something's coming that God is going to couple up with this, I think, to get his people's attention. That we live in the times the Bible described. We have wars and rumors of wars going on, famines, earthquakes. Call me crazy. I am glad that Jonah finally went to Nineveh and told them about it, told them about God, told them that they needed to change. And because they did, God relented and relented of their destruction and spared that generation of them. You know, when Jesus, they asked for a sign in the days of Jesus, and he replied back that it was a crooked, right? Or was it, I think he said wicked. Yeah, it's in Matthew 12. We'll read this here, a couple verses. Matthew 12, 38 through 41. Then the scribes and the Pharisees answered Jesus, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But Jesus answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign. Yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. And then he goes on and says that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So he was telling them, prophesying to them, that, yeah, they would kill him, and he would spend 3 days, but then he would come back. And I hope, Remnant, that we can use Matthew 12, 38 through 41, here in the next few weeks, in these next less than 40 days now. And that you can remember that, you know, people talk about a sign. Oh, well, if God is God, he should do this. Or if Jesus is Lord, he should do this. Or we should see this. And just know that it's not the first time that unbelievers have asked for a sign. You got to remember this. These scribes and Pharisees, they knew. They had seen the miracles. At the very least, they had heard of them, talked about them over their, you know, whatever they drank or ate. They knew. They knew. They had seen, and they didn't believe. And that's why Jesus calls them an evil and adulterous generation. And that's how it is today. This evil and adulterous generation that we live in today, they want a soundbite. They want a flash in the sky. They want a note that says, hey, you got 5 more minutes. But that's not what they're going to get. They've got the sign of Jonah. And God has given that in a solar eclipse, in the shadow making an X that marks the spot. What do you think about this? Let me throw this out to you. You know, if you have had a conversation with my daughter the other day. She came up with this, and I think I'd like to share it with you. She said, you know, Jesus talked about the parable of the treasure in the field, right? That he hid his treasure in the field. Do you remember that one? And he tells about it that the man hid his treasure in the field, and then he goes and sells all that he has to buy the field because that has the treasure in it. And then he explains what it is, that the field is the world and the treasure are his people, the apple of his eye, the people that he makes covenants with. So, you know, if you care to read that, I think that is pretty self-explanatory. And so my daughter and I are talking, and she said, so, you know, Dad, this is picture the United States as the field. So I said, okay. And she said, so now looking at something else, you know, you ever see a treasure map? Oh, we've all seen the old pirate treasure map, right? That they unroll, or like on the Goonies, they find it, and X marks the spot, right? X always marks the spot of where the treasure is. And so that's what she said to me. She said, Dad, could it be that this X is, you know, God again is calling out, proving that parable of the treasure in the field, that X marks the spot of his treasure in this field? And I think it works on a personal level as well as a national level, that X marks the spot of his new Jerusalem, his new Jerusalem, here in the whole world. The world is the field. Anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting. I gave her a big hug and a thumbs up, and whew, man. When you get that kind of stuff back, you just have to thank God for that kind of stuff, because that is a God thing. It is. So we've just got started. We're just in. I was talking to a brother yesterday and said, hey, we're in the 40 days. I think we are. We're in the 40 days. And so, hey, in these 40 days, straighten up and fly right, as they say. Be found. There's nothing there. I don't think there's anything new that we're called to do. Okay. I don't think that there is. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:1-2 says, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well. And remnant, you know full well. That's not given in arrogance. I hope it's not taken in arrogance, but because we've read the word, we've been called out, we've been obedient to the word, we've cried out in repentance, we've cried out in prayer to God for others and for this nation. It says, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And we do know that. We know it full well. No one knows the day or the time. I'm not saying, hey, 40 days. That's not me saying. Nope, not at all. Because no one knows. But what you can do is be ready. You could do your best to be ready. And God honors that. That's one of the characteristics of our Lord. He honors that trying, that desiring for truth and justice. You know, he desires us to, what's the word say, to focus on what is right and good and proper. And that's what we're to do. Matthew 24, 43 and 44 ties right into this. He says, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. So I think that's what we are to do, Remnant, is just to be ready. To be like those wise virgins, right? We know he's coming. We get our, we trim our lamps, right? Pastor just talked about that in one of the last couple Sunday sermons when we replayed for the Timeless Pulpit Truth. You know, it means to put things in order, to have things in order. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little time. If things have gotten out of order or if they're not in order, it takes a little time to get them in order. You know, not that you got to be a dictator about anything, but sometimes whether it's getting your house in order or your workplace in order or your life as it pertains to friends and family, sometimes it takes a little getting things in order. We just don't know, folks, but I think we're a little closer. That's my thoughts. I do. I think we're closer than we've ever been. I think that these signs, it's interesting that I was talking with some men the other day, and he asked me, he said, so you really think this is more than just an eclipse? It's just a natural occurrence. And I said, well, there's the Creator that created the natural occurrence, and there's his word that tells us he created the sun and the moon and the stars for seasons and the sun for light during the day and for signs. So if you want to make fun of me and think foolishly of me for believing the word of God. I don't think I'm applying anything out of biblical context. It's a sign. 2 Timothy 4. A couple more verses here tonight. And see, we're kind of fastly running out of time here, but 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. And again, Remnant, these scriptures, I think it's just what we are to be doing. You know, we're just to be doing the best that we can. Being good, solid Christians, not ashamed of the gospel, willing to share with others, being like these people that are ordering all these, revealing the man of sins and greatest discoveries and passing them out. Saying, hey, you got questions? This might give you some answers. Second Timothy 4, 2 through 4 tells us, be ready in season and out of season. And you know, folks, I think that it's in season right now. With the mess the world is in, the mess the government is in, the lies that people are seeing through the lies that the government spews out more and more and more, and they're looking for truth. They're turning away from the filth and the lies that are pushed and promoted by a small minority in this land. And people are seeing that. And, you know, when they're moving away from evil, that they're moving in the right direction. I think it's the season for the remnant to have, to be able to point our friends and family and coworkers and acquaintances in the right direction. Back to the Word. He says in 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, be ready in season and out of season. reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. See, now that doesn't mean to be arrogant. That doesn't mean to try to explain everything. It's not what it means. Not at all. With great patience and instruction. You know, there's a time to reprove and there's a time to not. It's just like in Ecclesiastes, a time for all things, right? There's a time to rebuke and there's a time not to. And there's a time to exhort and there's a time not to. It goes on and says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Those are the times we're in. We see that. As we read, we really don't have a need for anything new to be written. We have it. We know. We see this. The story of Jonah, the story of Nineveh, certainly a story of repentance. A story of obedience to God. That, hey, if God calls you for something, you can run, but you can't hide. And that when God gets your attention, it's best to just go ahead and follow the God's lead, follow His lead. But you know, the story of Nineveh and the story of Jonah too, it shows the grace and mercy of our Almighty God. It shows that when repentance is present, when change is present, that God relents. It's called mercy and grace. And we have plenty to repent of. We do. We just mailed out. We had a new prayer. We don't get them out too often, but we got a prayer out for the Gideon Elite. We mailed it out, and I'm sending them out with orders. And it's a prayer of acknowledgement and a prayer of repentance. I would encourage you to pray Daniel 9. We read it and prayed it last night. It is a prayer of acknowledgement of our sin and of repentance. I encourage you to do that. Write it down, Daniel 9. It is needed in the land today. We have plenty of sin in the land. We do. There's plenty to pray about. There's plenty to pray for. You know, confession and repentance are key factors in change, in changing the direction we're going. You know, they say the insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So if we want different results, things have to change. If you have to repent, repent. If you don't know of what you need to repent for, if you ask God, if you go to God in prayer and say, God, I want to honor you. I want to serve you. Forgive me. And if there's something I need to change in my life, if there's something I need to repent of, show me what it is. That works in the physical and the spiritual. Lord, if there's something that I need to change physically in my life and what I do and when I do it and what I eat and what I drink and those things, show me, Lord. And if there's things in my spiritual life, in my mental life that I need to change, that I need to repent of and change, show me. And you know, folks, I have learned by experience, if you do that, and I've talked to others that have taught me that if you ask God those things, He will open your eyes to that. Well, see, then you have an opportunity to change. Then you have an opportunity for obedience, right? And that's good. I mean, the fix is there, and it's His Word. I know we keep saying that. We kind of harp on that, but that's what it is. Just looking through my notes. Sure seems like there's just something in the air. Don't know what it is. I wish I did. Again, it's the beginning of the year. We've just had Passover. 30 days later is the makeup day. That'll be May 2nd. You know, about 20 days after that is Pentecost. That's 50 days, right? 50 days after Passover. That's when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the apostles, the tongues of fire, and many were saved, many were baptized. Maybe that's what's coming. I don't know. I don't. But it sure seems like we're getting closer to that midnight hour. Whether something happens after these 40 days or not, I don't know. I'm going to do my best to continue to head for that narrow gate. To do my best to stay on the straight and narrow, right? Be one of the few that find it. That's what His Word says. Kind of hard to argue with that. Just don't hear that preached too often. Well, Remnant, know that we pray for you here at the ministry, and it's an honor to be here. We're certainly not worthy to attempt to do what we attempt to do, but this is how it is. This is where we are. So we're doing the best that we can. Again, know that we keep you in prayer. We ask for your prayers as well, and all is not lost. You know, the Word tells us that we're not to be fearful of our enemy, and that when we're not fearful of their actions, it's a sign of destruction for them and salvation for us. Now that takes that to me anyway, it doesn't just happen. I have to work at that. When things come up, I have to tell myself, Lord, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to be fearful of it. And it's an attitude I think we all need to work on and work a goal that we need to work towards. Because, again, it's destruction for them and salvation for us. It has been tough with these fuel prices. I saw a thing that said grocery store prices on average were over 40% higher than just in late 2019. But you know what? I don't know anybody that's gone hungry. There might not be a little as much money in the account at the end of the month, but the people I know, the Christians I talk to, they're getting by. They've got work, and they're getting by, and it is by the grace of God. Well, I think I'm going to go out with a song here, and folks, want to invite you to join us Saturday morning for coffee. Jason's been hosting. It's been real interesting, the men joining in, and so we hope you'll join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. Pastor Peter set that up many years ago as an opportunity, kind of like the old sitting around the campfire, maybe at the beginning of the day or even the end of the day, and being able to just kind of talk about current events and what's going on. And so We hope you'll join us Saturday morning for that, right here at scriptures4america.org. That's at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. And then, good Lord willing, hopefully you'll join us for church as well on Sunday. Well, Remnant, thank you. And God bless.
Hey, sinner, you're running out of time. How much longer do you think you have before you go completely blind? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin's spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell? Hey, sinner, salvation's calling you. That long black train is rolling, sweet chariots are coming too. You can ride that cloud to heaven or take that train to hell. But the chance for you has come today to break old Satan's spell. Hey, sinner, God's chariot's swinging low. We take that ride on high or end up down below. Right now the time's before you to break old Satan's spell and give your heart to Jesus or send your soul to hell. Oh, hey, sinner, you're running out of time. How much longer do you think you have before you go completely blind? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin's spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin's spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell?
What's really going on? No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of it's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes, praying to the Father.